Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show and a midweek installment of Bullet Points. This week, your thoughts on my conversation with Dr. Sabrina Cohen-Hatton about breaking the glass ceiling and shining a light on gender bias in the workplace, the intense backlash on Gwyneth Paltrow for revealing her daily diet, and a preview of next week's episode.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I am so pleased you loved my conversation with Dr. Sabrina Cohen-Hatton as much as I did. What a great guest. And from the messages you've been sending in, it's clear that you loved her insights on everything from what she learned from a period of homelessness in her teens to navigating a male-dominated profession and scaling the ranks to hold one of the most senior positions in the fire service. I have, in the past, definitely felt as though there have been obstacles in my way. I felt like the world was against me. Things, people, and circumstances that have stood between me and the things I wanted to achieve. And when I look at it now, objectively and with a bit of distance, I can acknowledge my privilege and how, more often than not, the thing that stood between me and what I really wanted was me. So to hear Sabrina's story, to hear her share the real challenges that she's had to overcome, not her getting in her own way, but real challenges that she's had to overcome, the obstacles she's had to climb over, find her way around or push through, was just so inspiring and humbling. More than that, I think the thing that I really came away from on the day as well, and again when I re-listened and definitely from the messages that you've been sending me, is that her commitment to making life easier for the people she comes into contact with through her work, and also for the people who will follow her, is just incredible. So if you haven't listened to that conversation yet, then I encourage you to take yourself out for a long walk or put it in on the car when you're on a long drive and plug into what Sabrina has to say and really enjoy it. It really is one of my favorite conversations I've had. And I love a guest who just comes on and is just ready to tell their entire story. We could have recorded, honestly, for 3 to 4 hours. I genuinely think we would have very comfortably sat there for 3 to 4 hours and then someone would have had to have said, I'm sorry, but we need to close, because we really didn't shy away from just going there and it was just very open, honest conversation. So I hope that you enjoy. And it's not 3 to 4 hours, it's just over an hour. Now, behind the scenes this week, actually, my lovely listeners, I wanted to ask your opinion about something. It's something I've seen happening on social media for a while, but it came to a head, actually not this week, I have to be honest, it did come to a head a couple of weeks ago. It's about a conversation Gwyneth Paltrow had, and it went viral. There was a lot of reaction to it at the time, and I have to say I sort of bit my tongue simply because I don't particularly want to get caught up in anything controversial. I don't enjoy jumping on a hot topic in order to get likes, comments, or interaction and engagement. I just feel that's a bit mucky. But I've been thinking about it a lot, and I really wanted to give myself a minute to understand what I was really feeling and how I felt about it. And then I wanted to ask your opinion. So to give you context, Gwyneth Paltrow was asked during an interview, and it was an interview on the Art of Being Well with Dr. Cole podcast, about her wellness regime. And I think with regard to her diet specifically, or not I think with regard, but she said with regard to her diet specifically, that she intermittent fasts, she drinks coffee, so she will break that fast with coffee, and she has bone broth for lunch and usually has vegetables for dinner. And the response to this, I don't even know whether I should call it a response. It's been a backlash. It's been huge. The Evening Standard led with a headline saying, Gwyneth Paltrow needs to keep her joyless meals to herself. Tess Holliday condemned Gwyneth's diet, saying, I'm not judging because I have an eating disorder, but bone broth is not a suitable meal. But yet people continue to give her airtime, to give her a platform, to take her advice because everyone is too afraid to be fat. The New York Times even ran a feature saying her daily food intake sounded like the kind of thing you'd eat to prep for a colonoscopy. So it's fair to say that a lot of people had opinions, had strong opinions, and a lot of people were speaking out. But let's put Gwyneth aside for just one moment. One of the most popular and most searched hashtags on social media is hashtag WIEIAD, which stands for What I Eat in a Day. Furthermore, mukbang, which is Korean, I'm sure that's not the correct pronunciation, I apologize, but it means literally to eat and broadcast simultaneously, is again one type of content that is viewed in its billions every day. And it's just people eating, usually with mukbang. It's there's an element of eating excessively, that definitely excessive quantities, and to create or at least to platform the noise that you're making when you're eating. So slurping, chewing, swallowing, that sort of thing. Lots of those sorts of noises, which it's really funny to me because for years, as someone who used public transport for a really long time, people eating in public and hearing those noises would make me suppress violence. And yet now it's something that is viewed to excess on social media platforms. That just, and when I say that the slurping, the chewing and everything is really platformed, I mean that there's no other sound. Almost the microphones in many cases are put near to the person's mouth or near to their throat so that you can hear really clearly all of those revolting noises that genuinely, if I hear them, I'm like, ugh. Anyway, the What I Eat in a Day videos, I believe, did start out as a version of Here's How to Eat Healthily. And you can imagine it, can't you, in the early days of social media, it would sort of be quite virtuous. But now it's anything from healthy eating, eating in a calorie deficit, eating to gain muscle mass. Some videos even start with, there's someone I've seen on TikTok who starts it with, here's what I eat in a day as a fat bitch who doesn't care that she's fat, which I love. She's great. I mean, the variety and the breadth of content in this space is vast. And I don't think, and this is what I want to come back to, I don't think there is a single creator talking about food who isn't criticized for what and or how they eat. So in Gwyneth's case, it's that she's not eating enough. It's joyless. And the implication from a lot of the reaction is that she's promoting an eating disorder. So eating in a way that's so restrictive that weight loss would be a natural consequence if this is how you ate for a prolonged period of time. I don't want to pass comment on Gwyneth's relationship with food. I know that I personally couldn't, I don't think I would enjoy that way of eating, but if she enjoys it and if she feels well from it, then I'm not going to challenge her. Similarly, I've seen other creators on TikTok specifically who just eat and enjoy food. Now, would I eat the amount they do? No, it's a lot of food, but I'm not going to judge. It's like, if you feel good, if you feel great, if you enjoy it, more power to you. But there are so many people out there, and they head to their comments, who feel extremely comfortable passing judgment and telling them in those comments under their videos where they're like, hey, I've just been and I've got this. They're telling them, oh, you're killing yourself. Oh, I keep seeing one particular content creator. She's 16 years old and she's so sweet and she makes these videos and she does. She eats a lot of food by my standards, not necessarily by everybody's. And the comments that are left underneath her posts are just so vicious. And I think it's the judgment. And so that's the reason I wanted to talk to you about it. It's that when it comes to food and how people eat, as well as the quantities they consume, why do we feel so comfortable passing judgment? Or why is it something that a lot of people can't seem to hold in? Surely how someone else eats has absolutely no benefit on you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So benefit has no effect on you. There's absolutely no impact on you. How someone else eats doesn't bother you in the slightest, surely. So the reason I'm asking is that until somebody shows me the perfect diet with substantial evidence to prove that it's the optimal way for a human being to eat, I think we have to let people figure it out for themselves. And it's someone posted about it being disordered eating and whatever. And I was like, well, just show me what ordered eating is like. And then I will happily say, yeah, that looks like disordered eating. But I just, it's this passing judgment that I feel really uncomfortable with. And I know with Gwyneth that it's her profile and the fact that she has huge influence where the issue really, really lies. But I was just really struck by the judgment that came and with the level of criticism about what it said about her. And I just, it just seemed really extreme, to be honest. And it took me by surprise. And the fact that it went on for days was just really puzzling to me. And look, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, you'll be thinking what I'm about to say, but I'm going to be very honest. I'm on my own journey of recovery with regard to food and eating issues. And I actually had this conversation with someone recently. I know that my behavior around food as someone who has a tendency towards binging would be triggering for someone who has had experience with a restrictive eating disorder. I even had someone say to me recently, I've never seen you eat. And that sometimes is because my way of eating is something that I sometimes feel more comfortable doing not in public. I'm not someone who's going to just grab a sandwich in front of you. I don't feel comfortable grabbing food on the go, simply because in the past, grabbing food on the go has led to me eating later on when I'm by myself in a way that isn't great. So I just tend to have, I hate using the word control, but I tend to just be a bit more disciplined about it and make sure that I've eaten before I leave the house. It's silly things like that. Obviously, I go out and have dinner with friends, but it's that eating on the go that's a bit of a spiral for me. But someone else might be like, whoa, Emma, that's a big problem. But for me, that's actually a really positive step that I've made. So that's what I wanted to really ask you about, because I find the fact that people pass judgment on how other people eat really, really puzzling. And the fact that there's been such a big hoo-ha. Anyway, the hoo-ha over Gwyneth got my attention. And I'm not even going to go into the fact that in the bro space, or maybe I will, in the bro space, and by that I mean like the health space dominated by men, and there are a lot of podcasts hosted by and featuring men talking about health, where they talk about absolute extremes of dieting, fasting, like they're in ice baths, they're fasting for days, not a few hours like Gwyneth, like days. Chris Hemsworth did a documentary on Disney Plus. I have to say, it's an incredible documentary with this. And he did this whilst working with a doctor called Dr. I think it's Peter Attia. And he did a 4-day fast. And they backed up the reasons why he was doing it, and for autophagy and in order to get other systems in his body working. But they were talking about the benefits of fasting, and there was no backlash on Chris Hemsworth, but Gwyneth says she has an early dinner and then doesn't eat again till midday the next day, and people go absolutely wild. And I just feel, for that reason, Gwyneth has my sympathy, because I think in the bro space, there are some really extreme health, in inverted commas, activities going on, and there's nowhere near the backlash that someone like Gwyneth receives, and that doesn't sit well with me. Anyway, you've heard me wang on for long enough, so I'm curious to know how you feel about this topic. So please feel free to get in touch. You can email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM me on any of the social media platforms where I'm at Emma Guns, or in the private Facebook group. The link to join will be in the show notes. Now, before I leave you, I want to share what's coming up next on the show. And it's pretty topical given what we've just been discussing. So I posted on Instagram recently about being in recovery for an eating disorder, and the response was so huge that I decided to record a solo episode. So just you and me. Just to try and explain it in a bit more detail, but not in a way that's like scripted and like a something, I don't know, some sort of TED talk. It's just, it's not scripted, it's not perfect, but it is me hopefully trying to say the things that might help anyone else who struggles with food find the resources and help that they need. Because I hope that by sharing my experience as honestly as I can, even imperfectly, it'll help anyone who feels alone in this. Because for a long time, I felt very, very alone. And I thought that the way that I felt about food and my body and all of those things was really shameful. But actually, the only way that I've made any progress in any kind of recovery is by being open and honest about it. So if it just helps anybody realize that they aren't the only one going through this kind of thing, oh, then job done. But anyway, be gentle with me. It wasn't the easiest to record, but I hope that it, in its imperfection, lies the key to someone's recovery. That would be amazing. That's everything for Bullet Points this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for commenting on posts. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for spreading the word about the podcast. I appreciate it hugely. It's always a pleasure to spend this time with you. I shall see you on the next one.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.